Good morning, friends. How are we? I hope that you have. Thank you so much. Listen, I love baptism mornings. It's also so good just to hear us talk and say hello, fist bumps, hugs. Hopefully there weren't a lot of kissing. We don't want to get that out of control, but man, it's good to be here with you this morning. I want to tell you a story that was really profound to me when I was very early in ministry. I'd only been in ministry, been a pastor for a couple years, and there was this experience that was really like jarring to me. I went to a church. There was a family that called in. It was at a pretty large church, and it was on TV, and so there was a lot of people that would call in anytime they needed help, and we would go to the hospital and visit with people. So there was a call in, hey, this guy is in the hospital. He could really use a pastoral visit. So I went with another one of our staff members. We didn't know anything that was going on. We walked into the room, said, hello, my name is Bryn. I'm from this church. We're here, just wanna pray. Can we pray for you? And without skipping a beat, he said in very choice words, absolutely not, you can't pray for me. You need to get out of here. And we're like, whoa, what happened? Turns out he had stage 4 brain cancer. In his words to us, he said this, listen, if your God really answered prayer, he would have already shown up. Get out. And in that moment, I was shocked. So we went out in the hall, and me and my friend, outside the hall, outside of the door, is like, you can't stop us from praying for you out here. So that's what we did. But at the same time, it was just like, here's this guy who's so broken, he's literally cursing God. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. And we look at that moment, we listen to that story, and we think, wow, so dramatic. But can I just be humbly tell you something this morning? We do this all the time in our own lives. We're in a fight with our spouse, and it's not going well. You know what we don't do? We don't pray. We don't show up the next morning and say, God, help me to know what's the next best step. We often are stressed out with our schooling and with our job, and it's overwhelming, and we just are like, we don't even turn to God. We just get busy, or we just do our thing. And it's not an act of cursing of God, but it's not going to the very God who wants to help us. We have this moment when we see difficulties and we're overwhelmed with our anxiety. When something difficult is happening, it's so easy for us to just turn away from God and try to fix it ourself. And this is the very season that the people of Israel are in. This is the season that they're in. They believed Moses and Aaron that they were going to be a deliverer, and they got all excited. And all of a sudden, because of their excitement, because they thought they were going to get delivered, they're now under a lot harsher conditions than they've ever been under. They have to make more bricks with less straw. They're like, what is going on, Moses? Would you just leave us alone? And Randy last week came in here and told us this, that when things are not going like they're supposed to, focus on God's promises and not his expectations. And brothers and sisters, that's so true. I hope that you've listened to that message. We're gonna keep in that same thread this morning as we press into here, because I would say that that's the season that the people of Israel are in. But I think once we get past the good morning hellos in the halls of church on a Sunday morning, we're often in those seasons in our very own lives. And we're gonna press into the people of Israel this morning. We're gonna look at Exodus 6 through the lens of Moses and then through the lens of Israel. And here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna learn from their mistakes. We're gonna learn from how they responded under this pressure and try to come out of here a better gospel-informed people. So we're gonna be in Exodus chapter 6. Say, got it when you get there. Thank you so much. So we're gonna come back just a little bit. This is Exodus chapter 5, just to remind us of where we've been. Moses has a lot of questions. And last week, this is where he ended in verse 22. It says, so Moses went back to the Lord and asked, Lord, why have you caused this trouble for the people? And why did you ever send me? He wants to know why. They're in a lot of trouble. And then verse 23 says, never since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has caused trouble for this people, and you haven't rescued your people at all. He's just like, God, what are you doing? And this is his conversation with God. I can't imagine the amount of conversations him and his wife Zipporah had late at night going, why did God cause this? Why is this happening? And then he finally turns to God and he's saying, God, why and what do we do? And God has answers in verse 6, starting in chapter 6. So read with me. Verse 1, but the Lord replied to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of a strong hand, he will let them go. And because of a strong hand, he will drive them from his land. And it's like God is having to say, hey, you saw Pharaoh's move. You saw Pharaoh flex. Now watch what I'm gonna do. I love that he starts this now. You saw what Pharaoh did. Now let me tell you what I'm gonna do. And God flexes and he's like, look, I have a strong hand. My arm is not too weak. And it makes me think of when my kids were little and I would flex in front of them. I don't know if you can tell, but I am really muscular. But somehow when my kids were like two or three and I would flex, they thought it was big. Now they just laugh. But God here is flexing. He's like, listen, my arm is not too short. My strong arm is about to get you. And then he keeps going in verse 2. Read it. He says, then God said, spoke to Moses, telling him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but I was not known to them by my name, the Lord. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. The land they lived in as aliens. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are forcing to work as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. And God gives the big picture. Moses is complaining about the situation. God is speaking back to Moses about the big picture, what's happening. He's like, and he starts with a phrase that we're gonna see over and over and over in today's passage. And he says this, I am the Lord. He says it in verse 2, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 29. This is the very name that he had said back in Exodus 3 when he met the burning bush. He's like, listen, I am. This is my character. I can do all things. But then he reminds them of the covenant that he had given between Abraham and Isaac and further. And he's, listen, I have heard and I'm going to pull through my covenant. That's where we're at in this, Moses. It's the big picture. I want you to skip to verse 10 because we're going to stay on Moses. We're going to come back to Israel in a little bit. God reminds Moses what he's supposed to do. Verse 10 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go from his land. This isn't the first time he's been told this, but he's sitting in and he's reminding him of what it is. He's like, I'm reminding you, go and do what I ask you to do. Go do your part. This is what I'm gonna do, but Moses, you need to go do your part. Verse 12, but Moses said in the Lord's presence, if the Israelites will not listen to me, then how will Pharaoh listen to me, since I am such a poor speaker? Verse 6 through 9, we see this reality that Moses goes and speaks to the Israelites and it doesn't go well. We'll read about that in just a second. But it doesn't go well. And so Moses is now kind of sitting in front of God and whining. And here's what he's saying. Listen, God, if the Israelites won't listen to me and I'm supposed to deliver them, then how in the world will Pharaoh, the king, who would be seen as a deity, how in the world is he going to listen to me, a shepherd from the land of Midian? How in the world is that going to happen? God comes back and gives them instructions once again. Verse 13, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them commands concerning both the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the Israelites out to land. He just has to give them the instructions again and again and again. There's a section of genealogy there. And oftentimes we don't read those publicly because honestly, they're really hard to pronounce. But there's a huge thing. I just want to remind you, genealogies are in the Bible because all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we didn't always just want to look over it. But so the question is what is it doing here? The answer is this. It's really introducing Aaron to us because so far the story's really been around Moses, but Aaron is going to be a key figure moving forward. And the authors want us to know who Aaron is and where he comes from. It's also introducing the power of the Levites as we move really past Exodus. When we get into 19 and further, we'll see the really unique need of the Levites. And he's introducing themselves. But I just want to show you something because this is where you can see beauty in these genealogies. This pulls the whole scripture together. Look at verse 23. It says, Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab and sister of Nashan. She bore him Nabad and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. So you got that? You got your top names of 2021 there. But check this out. Amminadab and Nashan, which is Aaron's father and brother, Aaron's wife's father and brother, are also mentioned in the lineage of King David. And then if you turn over to Matthew, you see that King David is in the lineage of Jesus. And you see in this very moment, as God is preparing a real promised land in Canaan, God is already working on providing for us an eternal promised land, all the way thousands of years before. Let's move forward. Let's keep going with David. Verse 28 says, "And on that day, the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, and he said to him, 'I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I am telling you.'" Same song, different verse. But Moses replied in the Lord's presence, "Since I'm such a poor speaker, how will Pharaoh listen to me?" Again, the Lord is saying, listen, I'm the Lord. I'm gonna do all this stuff. Go tell Pharaoh what I'm telling you to do. And Moses is like, I'm a bad speaker. I can't do it. Like, Moses, what is going on? It seems like in all of his doubt, there's this underlying question that won't release from Moses. As we've gone all the way through the book thus far, his doubting, here's would be the question that I would think that he's asking by himself alone. The underlying question is, how are you gonna use me, God? How in the world could you use someone like me? I don't understand it. And what's interesting is it's really easy to trash Moses and go, hey, Moses, you idiot. Didn't you see God? He's gonna do it. What are you doing? But let's just not worry about Moses this morning too much more. Could we just put the mirror in front of our own faces? I have used the exact same phrases of Moses all my life. But God, I can't. And you have to. God, I know what you said, but I'm me. How in the world could you do it? Here's what I know. In God's word that is active and living, his Holy Spirit, which indwells all believers, there is always something God is asking you to do. And in this moment, God is asking many of us to step out and do something. Maybe it's trust him with your money. Maybe it's to step up and finally lead your family to know and follow Jesus. Maybe it's you need to confess or repent from a sin that is really present in your life that you've been hiding from someone. Maybe it's to go on a church plant. Maybe it's to ask for forgiveness from someone that you have harmed. Maybe it's to make church a priority again in your life. There's a thousand versions of that, but there's always something God is asking us to do. What are your excuses? You know, something that has helped me think through this, because these issues are often complex in our life. Pastor Matt brought this question up earlier on during the week, and it's the idea of the hidden versus the revealed will of God. You're like, well, that seems really weird. What do you mean? Let me just show you what the Bible says about it, and then we'll talk about it. This is Deuteronomy 29:29. It says this, "The hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of his law." And here's the idea. There is a hidden will of God. There are some whys, some whats, and hows of God that you're never gonna understand. You will never understand some of the things that happens in your life. It's too big for you to grasp. It's beyond your pay grade. You'll never understand it. That's exactly where Moses is. He doesn't understand anything that's happening, how it could happen, why it would happen like that, and he's stuck in the hidden will of God. But at the same time, he is ignoring the revealed word of God. The revealed will of God is this: God has revealed something, so go do it. God had revealed, hey, Moses, you have a job. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I know you don't understand how all this is gonna work. I know you don't understand how I could use. I know there's so many things that are hidden from you, but I'm asking you to do this. Go. And this pulls us to a point for us this morning in Ankeny, Iowa. Please hear this. You may never understand, but do what you know. In your journey to know and follow Jesus, you may never understand something that's going on in your life. You may never understand the thread of grace God is weaving in your life. You may never understand why his scripture is really clear about something, but what I'm asking you to do, if you're gonna know and follow Jesus, you may never understand, but do what you know. Don't allow what you don't understand about God to stop you from doing what you do. I'll never understand why God allowed the pandemic. I'll never understand it. Just think about it. All that has happened, the stress of the world, the stress of our nation, the stress on this church. Did you know that there is literally, since the pandemic started, there are countries where there's not one missionary still in it? Because the whole nation, the whole world shut down and missionaries have been displaced all over the world. God, why would you allow something to do that? That's the hidden will of God. I have no clue. And to be honest, me and God are gonna have words one day about it. We already have a lot in my prayer times. But can I tell you something? There is so much of God's revealed truth that I'm still responsible for right in the middle of it. And for us this morning, you may never understand your job situation, this brokenness that is around you. You may never understand maybe some of the injustices that you're facing, but here's the thing, you do know that you should be kind. You do know that you should be forgiving. You do know that you should be repenting and confessing some of the sin that's in your very life. If you're wondering, man, if you're like Moses, God, how could you ever use me? I don't even understand what you're doing, how you're doing. Here's the point. You may never understand, but do what you know. But do what you know. Let's move to Israel. That's Moses. This is Israel. Let's go back in verse 6. Let's check in with them this morning, how they're doing. So now Moses had spoken all those things to, or God had spoken those things to Moses. Now Moses was supposed to go to Israel, and this is what it says in verse 6. Therefore, tell the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from the forced labor of the Egyptians and rescue you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you from this forced labor of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. These three verses are so nutrient rich with God's promises. In fact, they're in this midst. There's three I ams, there's seven I wills, and there's really three major promises that are over that. I want to walk you through them this morning. The first one is this. Look at verse 6. It says, therefore tell the Israelites, I am the Lord. This is what he continues to press through this whole chapter. I am the Lord. Remember who I am, Moses. And then look at verse 6, like he's promising that he will redeem them. Look at this, look at all the I wills. If you've got one of those scripture notebooks, like circle the I am and the I wills here or underline. Verse 6 says, therefore tell the Israelites that I am the Lord. And look at this, I will bring you out from forced labor of the Egyptians and to see the rescue, the will, I will is there in Hebrew, it's implied in the English. I will rescue you from slavery. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. He's saying, listen, Israel, I know you're in hard labor. I will rescue you. I'll pull you out and I'll redeem you. He doesn't just stop there. Honestly, if God just rescued us, he would be worthy of worship. But look what he does in verse 7. There's some more I wills. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. And what he's saying here is this big promise. Not only will I rescue and redeem you, he's saying, I'm gonna adopt you. You will be my people. I will be your God. We will be in family together. It's not just that I'm gonna be some distant God who came down and had pity on you. It's that I'm gonna have pity on you and then I'm gonna bring you and we're going to be together. You are my people. And by the way, there's another I am in there. And then verse 8, he promises the possession. I will bring you, look at those I wills, I will bring you to the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. He's like, listen, I am gonna hold my promise, and I've promised you the possession of another land. It's the part of the covenant that we see all throughout the book of Exodus. He's like, I will do it. And he ends it with, again, I am the Lord. In the midst of their difficulties, God shows up and says, this is who I am. This is my character. I am Yahweh. And not only that, this is what I'm gonna do for you, Israel. And there's these really beautiful promises, like, I'm gonna redeem you and rescue you. I'm going to adopt you into my family, and then I'm gonna give you the possession that I absolutely promised for you. And brothers and sisters, God is still doing this very thing in our own lives. He comes to us today, he says, this is who I am, I'm Jesus. I am Jesus. I'm the only one that can save you. And he also tells you, and this is what Jesus, I will do for you. I will redeem you. You have been lost in your sin. You have been blown up your own life. There's no hope for you. You are not a slave to Pharaoh. You are a slave to sin. And not only that, I'm gonna adopt you into my family. And you're gonna be my people, and we're gonna have relationship together, and we will be a family. And then not only, I'm not giving you a physical land, I'm giving you a promised possession of eternal life in a new heavens and earth with me for eternity. The same promises in a different way for us who follow Jesus. You would think that the Israelites would be like, okay, God, that's who you are, that's what you're gonna do. We're in. Look at verse 9. This is one of the most sad verses in the scriptures. I've stewed on this verse all week long. Look at verse 9. Moses told this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their broken spirit and hard labor. In the midst of a waterfall of good news of who God is and what he's gonna do in their lives, they can't even hear it. They're looking at Moses like, whatever. Just the same way as that guy did with me in the hospital. It's like, whatever. I got no room for you and your promises right now, Moses. Do you not see all the difficulties that I'm going on, that's going on in my life? The same with Moses. I don't want to just focus on Israel and be like, Israel, don't you see what God's saying? I want to turn the mirror to us this morning. We are in a season as a people of broken spirit and hard labor. I've done pastoral ministry now for over 20 years. I'm sure, like post-depression, maybe during World War II, I'm sure there's some seasons that have been more difficult as a nation, but I'm just telling you, I'm watching people and people are exhausted. People are like one inch away from losing it, operating in the red at all costs, or not at all costs, but at every turn. The pandemic, the cultural moment is so ripe. For us as believers, it's increasingly more and more difficult for us to live out faithfully what the scripture tells us in the public without getting it, without either being made fun of or come against. And here's the thing, unfortunately, in these days, I see so many believers ignoring or rebelling against the promises of God because of the hard labor and broken spirit of our age. We just don't have time to hear the truth of God anymore. We don't want to hear it. I just want to sulk. I'd rather vent than pray. I'd rather complain to my friend than to trust God with something that's crystal clear in the scriptures. We're just a people with a broken spirit who've had a lot of hard labor, and we people, can we just admit we are not sometimes eager for the truth of God? We're eager to complain or whine or fix it. My goodness, we're so good at fixing things. Why does Israel come after that way? And here's their underlying question. Their underlying question is this: how are you gonna deliver us, God? How in the world could you deliver us? I know you're saying all those promises, God, but do you know who Pharaoh is? Do you know, have you seen the situation? We're undeliverable, God. How could it possibly be true? And it's true, I think this even for our lives, in our darkest days, it's so much easier to believe the lies rather than the truth, isn't it? Yeah, how in the world, God, could you ever do it for us in our hurt situation? Maybe your spouse did something to you And God said, listen, all of your sin is forgivable, but you're like, nope, there's no hope for our marriage. I'm out. I can't hear your truth. Or maybe you see no way out of your stress. You're like, I don't see it, God. I can't see it. But you, if you forget that God's word says no temptation will overcome you except what is common to man. And it, you're, listen, God will provide a way out for that temptation. But in the midst of our stress, we forget God's word and we run to our addiction of choice. You drink too much. You scroll too much. You binge too much. Whatever it is, you do too much because you're just like, I'm not even trying to deal with my temptations. I'm running towards them. Loneliness. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We're so hurt, we don't even listen. We just go to the next hookup. We go get in a relationship that we know is bad. We escape to a screen full of all sorts of filth because we think it will fix our loneliness. And God is screaming at you, actually whispering, come, I'll never leave you. Not only are the lies told to us, but 9 times out of 10, those lies that we believe lead us to sin that destroys us even further and causes us more into slavery. So how do we get out of this? Here it is. You ready? Believe the truth, not the lie. Believe the truth, not the lie. Believe the truth, not the lie. Now listen, this is a trite answer, but you need to hear me. When life comes at you hard, if you are not standing on God's promises, you will get hammered. And what's interesting, can I just tell you what I think is true today? There's more Bible study resources, there's more apps, there's more resources than we know what to do with. The issue today is not the access of God's word and his promises. At any moment, you can get 75,000 better preachers than me preaching and heralding God's word on your phone. At any moment, you can get God's word, but we lack the discipline to go get it. We just are battered by hard circumstances, and we don't even build underneath this God's word. Believe the truth, not the lie. And God is asking the people of Israel to believe something. He's asking Moses to do something. And he's asking the people of Israel to believe something. So Christ follower this morning, you need to know this. God is a man of his word. What he says will come to pass. What he says will come to pass. So my question for you is this. What's the one thing this morning you know God is asking you to do? What's one thing? You know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know God wants you to take this step. It could be you need to make a discipling relationship and pour what I've poured into you into someone else. It could be turning from sin. I have no clue what it could be. What's one thing God's asking you to do? But then there's some of you this morning that you're not sure where you stand with God. You've come in, you're like, I love Keystone, I love what they're singing, and man, I feel like God's, and I need God in some sense in my life, but I'm not sure what it is. And you're really not sure, am I a Christian, am I not? And here's what you need to know, being a Christian isn't a cultural reality. It's not about whether you come to church or you have Christian friends or not. It's a faith reality. There actually has to be a point in our life where we're not just culturally around a bunch of Christians, but where we realize that God, I am the one who was caught in slavery to sin and I could not save myself. And I believe that Christ Jesus demonstrated his love for me while I was stuck there and that if I put my faith and trust in him, he can save me. That's what makes you a Christian is faith, not cultural trappings. And maybe this morning, you might be the people of Israel, and you've heard over and over, put your faith and trust in Christ, and you couldn't believe that he would save you. Because maybe there's a lot of sin in your life. But this morning, the belief for you would be, God, I'm gonna take you up on your word that you will save me if I put my faith and trust in you. Let's wrap it up this way. Maybe you're Moses. How in the world are you gonna use me? And here's what I would just say. brothers and sisters who are stuck on understanding why, live in faith this morning. You may never understand, but do what you know. Do what you know. If you're not understanding all that God's writing in your story, just do what you know he says to do this morning. And maybe you're Israel and you're asking the question, how in the world could you deliver me? And here's the answer: believe the truth, not the lie. Believe the truth, not the lie. God can redeem you, adopt you, and give you an eternal possession. I was gonna tell you a story about Amanda Mitter and I'm Judson. I don't have time this morning to tell the story. He was a missionary. I'll summarize it this way. He gave his life and he said, God, I feel like you're calling me to be a missionary. He moved from America. He got stuck in Europe for a while, got arrested there, eventually ended up in India, got kicked out of India, went to Burma, and for 3 years studied the language so that he could eventually just learn the language. It took him 4 years before he could hold his first church service. It took 6 years before he had a single convert to Christianity. In the midst of like 20 years of being a missionary, he lost two wives, two kids, was in jail, and his life was ransacked with difficulties. Can you imagine the questions he was asking God? But here's what happened. The back end, at the end of his life, he died when he was 61 years old. There were over 100 churches and over 10,000 believers because of his faithfulness. And listen, God's not called most of you to be a missionary, although if he has, come talk to me because I would love to help you. But God's called you to do something, and some of you are exhausted. You're just whipped, and it's so hard for you to believe the truth of God's word this morning. And I'm just telling you, the people of God are a people of faith. Don't you dare shrink back. Keep trusting God. Keep doing what he's put in front of you. You never know the legacy you might leave in generations to come if you will obey him in this one thing today. You may never understand. Do what you know. And believe the truth, not the lie. Would you pray with me? God, this morning we're coming into this place. And all of our hard labor looks totally different. But God, it's so easy to be so exhausted, we don't know what to do. And it's so hard to believe your truth. And so God, this morning, would you come into this place and would you help these brothers and sisters to do that one thing that you're asking them to do? And then God, would you help them as the enemy rails against them? Would you help them, God, to believe the truth and to have the courage to seek out the truth in your word? God, we need your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.